have. And I say it's an honor to be here and good for my family to be here. And we're still learning how to do life with two youngins. And God, for some reason, gave us 4 years of marriage and traveling, evangelism, things like that without children. I don't know why that was God's plan, not ours. And so then He gave us children and a church at the same time. And so I'm trying to figure out how to raise children and figure out Pastor and Baptist too. I don't know which one's harder. I hear the pastors in the crowd, amen. And but I tell you what, I appreciate your patience. And if you ain't had patience with me, please give some. If you figured it out, I'd really like to figure it. I'd like to know. I've read a bunch of books by people who said they figured it out. But I don't know. It ain't working for us. I've read all them books, but I thank God I've got a book. And several had said something about that, and I said a little bit last night, but I didn't have a father in my life, so I'm learning how to be one, and I'm trying to learn how to be, I want to be a good one, and I want to raise my children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. I want to be the right kind of father. I want to be a biblical father, and I want to be a biblical husband, amen, and my family to be a biblical family that God can use. But let's go right in. Ephesians chapter 5, if you've got your place there, would you stand for the reverence of God's word? And I'll try to give you what God's really burning on my heart. And I didn't want to really preach this, but this is what God wants, so I'm going to do what He said. Verse 18, and I know there's many men in here that could very well preach this a lot better because you know more about this than I do personally. And I know this is where I need to get. And God's been preaching to me out of this text for a while now. And you could probably quote all these, but let's just look what the Bible says in verse number 18. The Bible said, "And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God." Would you help us pray tonight? Father, we love You. We thank You, Lord, for the privilege of being able to be in the house of God again. And God, we thank You, Lord, for allowing us to be a part of this meeting. God, just the help we've received this morning. God, we received so much help. Lord, we could have went home and said it's been good for us to be here. Thank You for what You're doing right now in the service we're in. Thank You for manifesting Yourself and God, letting us know that You're here. God, thank You for these young people that have sung about the blood and how You saved us and how You claimed us. Thank God for that. God, now, Lord, we come to the time where we need You to touch us to preach. God, I realize tonight, Lord, I could probably perform without Your touch and I could probably teach without Your touch. But Lord, if there'll be any preaching done tonight, I need You to touch me. Oh, God, I pray You'd help me, Lord. God, I'm a needy man and I cannot do this by myself. So I pray You'd help us, Lord. And then I pray the hearers would not just be hearers only, but they'd receive the word and then act upon the word. Help us now. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. And amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing for the word of God. I've been thinking a lot lately about how that in Exodus chapter 40, as the book of Exodus closes, Moses, of course, they have built the tabernacle, and the Bible says there in Exodus chapter 40, verse 34, then a cloud covered the tent of the congregation, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. I thought about when Solomon built the temple and dedicated the temple to God in 1 Kings 8. The Bible said, "And it came to pass when the priests were come out of the holy place, that the cloud filled the house of the Lord, so that the priest could not stand to minister because of the cloud. For the glory of the Lord had filled the house of the Lord." And I thought about at the moment of our salvation, how that God, through His Holy Spirit, indwells us. We believe that. It's not some second work. It's not something
that we have to wait on down the road. But the moment of salvation, the Holy Spirit of God indwells us and we become the temples of the Holy Spirit. But I find I've been saved 20 years, I've been preaching almost 13 years, and I've found that most Christians do not seem to be filled with the glory of the Lord. As we're the temple of the Holy Ghost, it seems though that many people do not allow the glory of the Holy Spirit to fill their temple. They've allowed the self-life, they've allowed the cares of this world to move the Lord Jesus from His rightful place on the throne of their heart. It seems like they have not given Him preeminence in their life. They're not filled with the Spirit of God. But what the Bible refers to as carnal or fleshly. So we come here to our text tonight in verse number 18, where the Bible says, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit of God. Now, I say this by way of introduction, that the Spirit-filled life is not some... being a Spirit-filled Christian is not being a super saint. It's not something that is some super edition of a Christian. The reality is that the Spirit-filled life is the normal Christian life. The problem is in America and most of the churches we go into and the Christians that we meet, they're not even living the normal Christian life. Our theme at the church this year has been going the second mile. But I'm finding as the more we push our people to go the second mile, I find that many of them have not even been the first mile. As I'm trying, I don't know about y'all, but I don't like being average. I never have, preacher. I mean, I was an athlete in a school, and nobody looking at me, you can't tell that. But I did play sports in school, and I didn't want to be an average ball player. I wanted, when I stepped on the field, I wanted you to know that I was on the field. Amen. I wanted you to remember my name and number. Amen. When I was in academics, I didn't want to be average. I hated seeing average on any of my test scores. I wanted to be above average in school. When I got in college, it was the same way. When I got in the career, I was a school teacher. I taught math in school, and I didn't want to be an average teacher. I didn't think Christians were supposed to be average on the job. I thought we were supposed to go above the average. And I just hated being average. But I remember one day as a teenager that God sat down where I was, and it seemed like we just had a conversation between us, and the Holy Ghost of God pricked my heart about how my average Christian life, how I was living below average in my Christian life, and how that I needed a desire to go above and beyond the call of duty. And my friend, I don't know if I'm there yet. Oh, but as a 29-year-old young preacher, I want to be above average. I want to go beyond the call of duty. And I know this, I need to be Spirit-filled in my life. And not only me, this is not just for preachers. This is not just for evangelists or missionaries. This is for every blood-bought child of God. The command is to be Spirit-filled. Be filled with the Spirit of God. So we see this, in this chapter we see some things about the Spirit-filled life. I'll preach through this and hurry on and get through and let the real preacher come. I'm looking forward to hearing Brother Wells preach. But I want you to look, number one, at the reasons to be Spirit-filled. The reasons to be Spirit-filled. Number one, the number one reason is obedience. Obedience. Notice here that this text here is a command. This is just as much a command to be filled with the Spirit is just as much a command as it is of thou shalt not kill, or thou shalt not steal, or thou shalt not commit adultery. It's just as much a command as go into all the world and preach the gospel is a command. There is a command to be filled with the Spirit. And any Christian who is not Spirit filled is living a life of rebellion. I know that's not popular preaching, and I know a lot of Baptists stay away from this topic because they've let the charismatics steal it. But listen to me, we were right before they ever arrived, amen. And this Bible's right whether any man can twist this thing. This Bible's still right, and being filled with the Spirit of God is for us, being child of God, and just as much as it's a sin to be drunk with wine, and it is a sin being filled with us, not being filled with the Spirit of God is a sin. I don't know, I'm not an expert, but I don't know if the greatest sin in our church is is not that of not being filled with the Spirit of God. I don't know about where you, Pastor, or where you go to church, but I don't have much problem with the drunkards. I don't have my people there. I don't know any of my people that are drunkards. Hey, now, we invite them in. Amen. We won't get saved. But listen to me, my people, as far as I know, I don't have any of them that are drinking. I don't think, I hope to God I ain't got none that drank at all. They won't be long in our church if they are. Amen. Hello, Tokyo. Listen, I don't have a problem with drunkenness in my church. As far as I know, I don't have adultery running around. Or it'd be dealt with publicly too, amen. I don't think I've got a problem with all. I know all we got sin. I'm not saying I got perfect people. I ain't got a perfect pastor. And you ain't perfect either. But I don't think the biggest sin is those other things. I think the biggest sin in our churches today is the lack of the Spirit-filled life. The absence of the Spirit-filled life. I believe if a man is Spirit-filled, a woman is Spirit-filled, all those other things go take care of itself. I believe that the cause of Christ has been hurt far more by the lack of spirituality in Christians. I'm telling you, I've never heard of a church split because a crowd was drunk. But I've heard a lot of them because a crowd wasn't Spirit-filled, amen. A split in the church over carpet color. A split in the church over, I had a man get mad at me because we didn't have a certain seat and arrangement in the fellowship hall. I said, hey man, you've got just enough power to move the seat around as I do. Move the seat where you want it and sit down and be quiet, amen. Hey, listen, that's silly stuff. The reason we got silly stuff we deal with on a daily basis of pastors is because of the lack of spirituality in our people. And the reason we got so many preachers that are so stinking carnal is because of the lack of the Spirit-filled life, amen. And the reason we got so many that are fleshly and worldly and not separated is because of the lack of the Spirit-filled life. I think it's the leading sin in our churches. So I think the number one reason is it's obedience. But then I thought about the obligations of our life. You go through the rest of this chapter, and then in chapter number 6, God talks about some obligations in our life that if we are not Spirit-filled, we cannot be right in those obligations. Thought about, first of all, our worship life won't be right if we're not Spirit-filled. Amen. That's speaking to yourself in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. That's an overflow being Spirit-filled. Amen. And then our wedded life won't be right if we're not Spirit-filled. Sir, you cannot be the husband you need to be to your wife if you're not Spirit-filled. And ma'am, you cannot be the wife to your husband if you're not Spirit-filled. Oh, listen to me. I'm not talking about just making it last. I'm not talking about just making it work. I'm talking about being a family that is filled with the Spirit of God, used of God. Oh, we must be Spirit-filled for our wedded life. But I thought about our work life ought to be, we got to be Spirit-filled to be where. I don't know how many of you have secular jobs, but Christians ought to be the best workers on the job. It's a shame and a disgrace where I know many employers who say, I'm a Christian, I'm saved, but I won't hire none of them because they're the worst workers I got. Listen to me, the unemployment office around here ought to be calling the employers and saying, look, they ought to be calling, the employers ought to be calling the unemployment office and saying, if you got any Christians down there, send them my way because they work for me. They almost treat me like I'm God. A matter of fact, Ephesians chapter 6 tells us, the servants to be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh with the fear and trembling and singleness of heart as unto Christ. Amen. Amen. Our work life depends on us being Spirit-filled, but then our war life depends on us being Spirit-filled. Listen, we have got obligations in our life and that we cannot fulfill if we are not filled with the Spirit of God. I don't know about you, but I don't want to simply exist in this life. I don't want to just live this life. God died, Jesus died for me to have life and have it more abundantly. And thank God I've got eternal life. It doesn't start when I die. I've got it now. And my friend, I cannot live this life I'm supposed to live without being filled with the Spirit of God. Say this on the other side of this thing is they've got a lot of carnal, fleshly folk because they're not Spirit-filled. We've got a bunch of Pharisees because they're not Spirit-filled either. Amen. And listen, there's a ditch on both sides. Amen. But listen to me. I'm telling you, you can have everything right, and I believe in it. If I preached on my Saturday day at Harriet most of y'all, but listen to me. I believe you can live right and clean and all that other stuff, but without being Spirit-filled, you'll never be used of God. Without being filled with the Holy Ghost of God, God will not use you like He can use you. And so the obligations of our life, and then the opportunities of our life. Ephesians chapter 5 verse 16 says, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. I mean, we don't have long. Brother Harvey talked about it this morning. He talked about it in himself as his age, but listen, we don't have long. Y'all believe Jesus is coming, don't you? I mean, it could happen today. My wife was talking about something on the way down here this evening, and she said something about, I don't know if we'll be able to do that because it's about to rain or something like that. I said, I don't know if we'll be able to do that because Jesus may come back. Amen. Hey, listen, I'm looking for Him to come back at any moment. I'm looking for that appearing. I've got a blessed hope. He's coming back, but we don't have much time to do what we need to do for God. And it said, redeeming the time. Listen, any day that is not crowned with the Christian being filled with the Spirit of God is a wasted day. At best, that day will be counted as wood, hay, and stubble at the judgment seat of Christ. Now realize we're headed to judgment, don't you? Y'all still believe that, don't you? That a Christian is headed to judgment. And we're going to sit at the judgment. Or we're going to be there at the Bema seat. And God's going to have our foundations laid. Thank God for that. Hallelujah. For the foundation is Jesus Christ. But what are you building on that foundation? Is it wood, hay, or stubble? Or is it gold, silver, and precious stone? And any day that is not crowned with you being filled with the Spirit of God, at best will be wood, hay, and stubble, which will burn at the judgment seat of Christ. The opportunity we have is golden in this hour that we live in. We live in the greatest day to get the gospel out. I've had many tell me, you are born out of due season. They'll say, Bro Will, you should have been born 50 years ago. And my answer to that is no, I should not have. I should have been born when I was born. I should have been born again when I was born again. I was born for such a time as this. God called me in the ministry and put me in the ministry for such a time as this. This is the hour that I'm supposed to serve you. This is the hour that you're supposed to serve Him. So serve God. Get filled with the Holy Ghost of God and serve Him until you take your last breath. We've got an opportunity to reach the world with the gospel. Oh, we've got an opportunity to reach our neighbors with the gospel. We've got more access to people than we've ever had, and we ought to be using it for the glory of God. Not for self-promotion. God, help. Not for a bunch of other rehab. Use those things as tools, not toys. We use the opportunity that we... But I'm telling you, there's a lot of opportunities in my life I let slip right through my fingers because of the lack of being filled with the Spirit of God. Talking to my cousin the other day, and he's a truck driver, and God saved him about 5 years ago. Man, lived a life that was wicked. He's in his 40s when he got saved, and man, God changed his life completely. Got a burden for sinners, and he's a truck driver. He said, every day I pray for God to give me divine appointments that I can talk to somebody about the gospel. And he said, you know what, Will? He said, a lot of times I walk by people, and God will say, that's him, and I'll just walk on by. And he said, you know what, though? He said, every time I do that, God, it grieves God. I said, Kermit, if we get filled with the Spirit of God, I said, the secret to the Spirit-filled life, and I'll say more about this, is instant obedience. Instant obedience. As soon as he says do something, do it. Don't wait around on it. Don't just drag your feet on it, or don't just dismiss it. As soon as the Holy Ghost, and you know the voice of the shepherd. The sheep know his voice. You ain't got to wonder if it's him or not. If it lines up with Scripture, it's him. And when he tells you to do something, instantly obey him. The opportunities we have. Listen, a lot of people think the Spirit-filled life is a source of enjoyment. We think it's the exciting part of life, but I'm going to tell you what, it's a force of employment. It's not a source of enjoyment. Hey, ain't no better life to live than Spirit-filled life. Hey, listen, ain't no better life to live than a life serving God. Hey, listen, I know I've tried a lot of things, and ain't no better life than the life I'm living right now. But listen, it's not going to make you happy all the time. All this happy bubble stuff and all this, everybody worried about people being happy rather than holy. Hey, listen, you may not have, you're going to have down times. You're going to have times where it don't make sense and there's going to be struggles and sufferings. Listen, that's the promise to the New Testament church. It's suffering. But the Spirit-filled life, He fills us to fulfill the opportunities in our life. Say this, God's not going to fill you with the Spirit of God to sit on the couch and do nothing. God's going to fill you with the Spirit of God just sit on the pew and do nothing. God's going to fill you with the Spirit of God to do something and fulfill an opportunity you have in your life. You realize there's people you can reach that I can't reach. There's people I can reach that you can't reach. Hey, listen, we all have people in our life. We all have people, the word of the day, I get networking. We all have people in our network that we can reach, that other people cannot reach. That's an opportunity we have. But we've got to be Spirit-filled to fulfill that opportunity. Listen, I thought about the reasons. There's some good reasons to be filled with the Spirit of God. But what about the requirements? What does it take to be filled with the Spirit of God? And I'm no expert. I am no expert whatsoever. But I'm telling you, I want to live a Spirit-filled life. Number one, it is a complete commitment to the Spirit of God. I want to remind you of something. The Spirit of God is a person. It's not a thing. It's not a force. It is a person. And He's co-equal, co-existent, co-eternal with God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. A lot of Baptists are treating Him like a red-headed stepchild. But He's co-equal, co-eternal, co-existent with God the Father, God the Son. And they're all three in one, one in three. You say, explain that. I don't know everything about that. I just believe my Bible. The Spirit of God is God. It is a person. He is a person. He can be grieved. He can be quenched. He can be lied to. He loves. He wills. And listen, He can be insulted. So the concept of being filled with the Spirit of God is not that of a vessel being filled with a substance, but it is the concept of a house, a temple, being filled with a divine person. Total commitment. I've used this illustration, but we've all had guests in our house before. You invite them into your house and you show them around. You probably show them where they're going to be sleeping. Show them where the bathroom is. Show them where the linens are. Maybe show them what in the refrigerator. All that. So you show them around. Maybe even give them a key to the house. And this is what we say. Make yourself at home. Might say something like this. My house is your house. He costs us some gossip. You know, make yourself at home. Maybe we go to work the next day and we come in. So just imagine we come into the house that guest is in. Our house. We told them. Make yourself at home. We walk into our bedroom that day and we find that house guest. In our bedroom, maybe in your study, office, or wherever you keep those important files of your life. They're in the filing cabinet. And they're in that file that says private, personal, stay out, don't go there. And they're digging through. They find those old love letters between you and your spouse and y'all's court. They find your tax records. Those of you that file taxes. Amen. They find your last will and testament. They find all kind of they might find your diary, or your journal, or your meditation, whatever. You keep up with your thoughts of the day. And they find all this stuff about you, all those personal things about you. You walk into that room, and now I don't know about y'all up here, but y'all, Southerners, we have Southern hospitality. I'm finding out up here, that ain't up here a lot. Somebody was talking about tipping earlier. I ain't even found a drive-thru clerk that's worthy of tipping, amen, around here, amen. No, I'm just kidding, kind of. Y'all could learn something about Southern hospitality up here, amen. I'm not talking about anybody in the church. I'm talking about everybody in the family. But where I'm from, this is what we would say first. We'd say, can I help you find something? That's what we'd say first because we're nice people. Can I help you find something? Did you lose something in here? And that guest look at us and say, well, no, I just want to learn more about you. Just wanted to find out more about you. I want to learn about your life. And I thought this would be a good place. It said personal, stay out. Thought that'd be a good place to start. Find out about you. Now at that point, we become like some of these Yankees, these northern folk. And we say, get out of here! That's off limits! We lose all our Southern charm at that point. But watch this. They say, they look at us and scratch their head, but wait a minute. You said yesterday, make yourself at home. Now I'm going to ask you a question. How many times have we done that to Holy Ghost? Lord, fill me up. We'll sing the song and search me, O God. We'll say it like the psalmist David, search me, O God. See if there be any wicked way of men. And the Holy Ghost takes the flashlight of the Word of God and starts looking in place of your heart. And you say, not there, Lord. Whoa, can I help you find something? Wait a minute now, Lord. Not that part of my life. Not that part of my heart. Not that room. Not that drawer. Not that pile. No, Lord, don't go there. That's off limits. Here's the key of the Spirit-filled life is a total commitment to the Spirit. The song that talks about giving Him to the keys to every door of your heart. It's turning over the keys, saying, here's the key to every filing cabinet drawer. Here's the key to every closet, every door, every nook, every cranny, every crevice of my heart. And I want you to have every part of it. Those parts that you can't even talk about with other people. There's things in my life that I just can't even talk to people about. I told my spouse just about everything. But there's a lot of things in my heart that I just can't even talk to her about. I've got dear friends. Thank God for the friends God's given me, but I can't talk to them about it. But if I'm going to be filled with the Spirit of God, I've got to let Him get back there. I've got to let Him have access to that. And I've got to let Him search it out. And then I've got to let Him clean it out. And I've got to let Him expose. Here's another secret of the Spirit-filled life. Not just instant obedience, but instant confession. When He pulls that stuff out in front, don't let it dangle there for a while. Don't wonder if you need to get rid of it. Don't do like a lot of these people that are hoarders. Y'all know that? Those kind of people just keep everything. Don't say, well, I'll keep that for a later time. No, as soon as God reveals it to your heart, confess it. Because thank God, 1 John 1:9 is in the book. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Thank God there's a promise. And if we will confess those things, He'll cleanse us and fill us with the Holy Spirit. A total commitment. And then it's a continual control by the Spirit of God. It's just not a one-time thing. Being filled with the Spirit of God. I want you to notice something in the verse. Verse 18 says, at that latter part, but be filled with the Spirit. But notice the sin before that he lists. Be not drunk with wine. I wonder why the Holy Spirit didn't say, don't commit adultery, but be filled with the Spirit. Wonder why He didn't say, don't lie, but be filled with the Spirit. Wonder why the Holy Ghost chose this sin. Wonder why He chose this sin to put in this verse here. Because there's a comparison here. Now, personally, I don't know much about this life personally, but I watched a daddy. Watched a daddy my entire life and still living this life of drunkenness. And what being drunk with wine will do to one negatively, being filled with the Spirit of God will do to one positively. I'll say this, that the only way you can be drunk with wine is to take wine. If you don't ever take wine, you can't ever be drunk with wine. But that man that gets drunk with wine will keep taking it and taking it and taking it and taking it and drinking it and drinking it and drinking it. And all of a sudden something happens over time, all of a sudden that man is taking the wine in him. All of a sudden though now the wine has overtaken him. And now that wine that he had control of putting to his lips now is controlling him. And now his whole demeanor changes. I don't know if you've ever been around someone that's drunk, and if you hadn't, thank God for it. And don't go looking for somebody to be around just to get an illustration here. Listen to what I'm saying. A man that is drunk, his whole life changes. He is controlled by that. There's a reason they call it spirits. He is controlled by that another power. And when he's under the influence of alcohol, everybody around him knows it. Because a quiet man will be loud. A loud man will get quiet. A wild man will settle down, and a calm man will get wild. A mean man will get sweet, and a sweet man will get mean. I'm telling you, a hard, stone-cold man will all of a sudden be soft and sentimental. Moral men become immoral when they are drunk. Wine. His walk changes. His talk changes. His attitude changes. And may I say tonight that when a man is filled with the Spirit of God, the same thing happens to him except from the positive end. A wild man will calm down. A calm man will become wild. A quiet man, if you knew me before God called me, you wouldn't think I'd ever do this. this. My mama still is amazed that I would stand in front of a crowd and do this tonight. But listen, a calm man will come. Why? A quiet man will don't know how to stop talking. A mean man will start loving. Hey, listen, it'll change your walk when you're filled with the Spirit of God. It'll change your talk when you're filled with the Spirit of God. It'll change your attitude when you're filled with the Spirit of God. It's a continual control. See, a drunkard can get drunk tonight and be sober tomorrow. You can get filled with the Spirit of God tonight and be sober tomorrow. I think that's what's wrong with a lot of people. Sunday, they get filled with the Holy Ghost. But they sober up by Sunday night after church sometime. By the time they're at work Monday, or the young people at school Monday, or wherever you go Monday, and all that Sunday business is wrong. Now we're not being controlled by the Spirit, but we're controlled by the flesh. And you realize Romans 6 teaches us we don't have to be. It doesn't have to have dominion over us. Get filled with the Spirit of God. That's why it takes so long on Sunday mornings to get folks. That's why a lot of, I don't know about here, but at our church, a lot of times Sunday nights are the better service. But that carnal crowd that got carnal at lunch and stayed home, amen, that crowd only God came back Sunday night. Amen. It's a continual thing. Over and over for every moment of service. Realize we all could have got filled this morning with the Holy Ghost of God, and by this evening we needed to get. Hey, I preached on Sunday morning. I needed it then. Preached on Sunday night. I needed it then. Hey, we needed it for the services yesterday. Needed it for the services more. But I needed it again tonight. I need it when I leave here to be right with my family. I need it better when I leave out of here to be right with the community. I don't need to be filled with the Spirit of God every month. And it's not a day-by-day thing. It's a step-by-step thing. Galatians says, walk in the Spirit. And I don't walk day-by-day. I don't walk mile-by-mile. I walk step-by-step. So every moment of every day, I need to be filled with the Spirit of God. A continual thing. But then it's a conscious thing. I think sometimes we get this wrong idea about the Spirit-filled life. Look, it says be filled with the Spirit, not by the Spirit. If the wording there, and I don't know a bunch about English, but if the wording was being filled by the Spirit, it'd be like this is the temple. And the Spirit of God's on the outside. And we could say something like this, Lord, I need more joy in my life. And the Spirit of God goes, okay, here you go. Lord, I need more patience in my life. Okay, here you go. Lord, I need more grace in my life. Okay, there you go. And he's on the outside. Just put whatever you say you need in. That would be filled by the Spirit. I can't fit in this thing. But being filled with the Spirit is the Spirit of God's on the inside. And Lord, it's not, Lord, I need more joy. Lord, I need your joy. Y'all realize when you got saved, you got all the God you needed. All those fruits of the Spirit, Galatians, you don't need more joy. You need God's joy. You don't need more grace. You need God's grace. You don't need more patience. You need God's patience. He's on the inside. And Lord, what I need you to do is fill me up so that your love, your joy, your peace, your long-suffering, your patience, all those things, they're, you fill me up so much that they just manifest themselves out of my life. Like fruit manifests itself out on a tree. Then I'm done here. The results of the Spirit-filled life. The reasons, the requirements for the results of the Spirit-filled life. Notice verse number 19. Speaking to yourselves in psalms, hymns, spiritual songs. Singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Number one, it'll give you a spirit of adoration. I'll tell you what happened around here. Happened last night, happened tonight. When we start singing the right kind of songs, we get a spirit of adoration. I don't think the biggest problem in our churches is the lack of talent. I think the worst thing about singing is not singing off key. I don't think it's the worst thing about singing is singing the wrong tune. I think the worst thing about singing is singing to the wrong audience. I ever watch that crowd? You tell who they're singing to. I don't care what the words say. You can tell who they're singing. They're walking the crowd, rubbing shoulders, everybody, hugging on folks while they're singing.
They're not singing to the Lord. They're making a big show with their body. Listen. But watch this. We sing a song. We'll say something like, I'm going to dedicate this to y'all. I don't know if y'all do that up here. We're in mountains of North Georgia. I just want to dedicate this song to my mama. This is church. Go to karaoke Friday night to do that. Hello? Don't do that here. That's not what this place is for. It's for songs. What's that? It's in the Bible. A lot of people look at me cross-eyed when I say, all right, we're going to sing a song. Let's turn to Psalm maybe 34 or something. We start singing and they look at me, what in the world's going on here? Hey, it's a song book. We can sing the songs. Hey, what about hymns? Hey, they are sung in adoration to the Lord. Praise is issuing forth unto God, singing to Him. Those girls last night, those two songs they sung. I noticed it was pronouns like, you, Lord. Not just singing about Him, it's singing to Him. God help us to have the right audience in our worship and in our praise. It's not about us. It's not about you. It's not about me. It's not about nobody here. It's all about God. One of the things I pray in my ministry is, God, do things in my life in such a way that I could not get glory for it, that only you could get glory for it. It's not about me. It's about Him. Songs and hymns and spiritual songs. Joyful, spontaneous music. Made overflowing out of the heart. What about Psalms 40? Put a new song in my heart. Took the honky-tonk out with the Holy Ghost in. Amen. Hallelujah. Listen to me. When God got a hold of me, He changed my music. Amen. Somebody said something about that country music. I don't know. I didn't know y'all listen to country music up here. But you blow it out where I'm from, and boy, I'm telling you, you make some people mad. But those, you blow out rock music, rap music, and amen. Check that, bro. Go ahead, preacher. Then I get on that Merle Haggard singing Amazing Grace on the gospel station. God help. Hank Williams singing I Saw It. God help. Elvis singing Amazing Grace. God help. Hello. That ain't of God. Amen. I had a man tell me, is this live? I don't care if it's live, if they're listening, oh well. Had a man in my church tell me one time I wasn't spiritual. So he said, preacher, I'm leaving the church because you ain't spiritual. Matter of fact, he's gone now. Hallelujah. But that man left his Bible on his pew every service. Never took his Bible home with him. Got in a truck with him one day because I got him to go visit with me one time. He was like, oh, preacher, let me show you my new CD I got. Huh? No, I might have got primitives or inspiration, some camis or something. Put it in his Alan Jackson gospel CD. I said, God, what, preacher? I said, you know, he made that for just to please his mama. God, help you listen to that stuff for real? Oh, it's spiritual, preacher. I said, oh, it ain't. Oh, ain't nothing wrong with it. It's not contemporary. God, help. Might as well be. I know, that ain't popular preaching, but it's right. And listen, means filled with the Spirit of God will give us a spirit of adoration for the Lord. It will turn our hearts and our melodies in our hearts towards Him and love toward Him and a compassion toward Him, thanking Him. Listen, thank God that He loves me. But hey, listen, how much do we love Him? You know, He wants to hear that. It'll give us a spirit. Look at verse number 20. Giving thanks always for all things. And the God, Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to be honest with y'all, this would be a lot easier verse if three words were missing. It'd be really easy to just give thanks unto God. Wouldn't it? Come on now. Don't be all super spiritual. It'd be easy. But when He throws in that always, all things, how much y'all, that ain't easy for me. But there's times I don't feel like thanking God. These things that go on in my life that it just I'm trying to find a place to thank you, Lord, and I can't. This circumstance doesn't make sense. How can I thank you during this time in my life? But He says, always. And then, how can I thank you with this going on in my life? It's all things. It's sweet things, but then it's bitter things. Good things and bad things. The mountaintop and the valley.
It's a spirit of appreciation. It's one thing in these last days, remember in Timothy where he gives those things in perilous times, one of the key things is unthankfulness. We've become a generation that is unthankful. And that right next to the ungodly. The reason we've become so ungodly is because we've become so unthankful to the Lord. Always and for all things. We're most of the time we're grumbly hateful. When we should be humbly grateful. God help us to have a spirit of appreciation. And listen, thanking God for all things and all times is not approving of the situation. Thanking God for all things and all times doesn't mean you like what's going on. It doesn't mean that you understand what's going on. You listen tonight. I don't know, but I felt so pressured today that this was the part that maybe we're missing the most is this spirit of appreciation for the Lord. Not when things are good, because I'm going to tell you, when things are good, it's easy. Man, when all the bills are paid and there's a little left over in the bank account, it's easy to say, thank you, Lord, for them good love offerings. But then months, I'm thinking, at the end of the month, I'm praying, Lord, I still got 2 weeks worth of bills. I don't know what I'm going to do. It's hard to thank Him during those times. I know it's carnal, but we live by money. Oh, and things are going well and everybody's healthy at home. Everything's going good. Everything's good. It's easy to thank the Lord. But then when trouble hits at home with sickness or with physical things that we can't control, it's hard for me to find a place to thank God. I know you are more spiritual than I am. I'm just confessing my fault tonight. But it doesn't mean that we approve of it. It doesn't mean that we even like it. It just means we know that God is bigger and God is able to take care of that situation. That God is able to remove that circumstance. And if He doesn't, He is still God. The spirit of appreciation. The spirit of adoration. But last one, I'm done. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Spirit of accommodation. When a person is consistently talking about his or her rights, he knows nothing about the Spirit of the Lord. When a person is constantly talking about how they feel about the situation, you preach Bible truth to people, you follow experiences as well. You preach what the Bible, thus saith the Lord. Exactly how the Bible, and it ain't easy. It's those hard messages, the one that people don't like. They meet you down at the foyer and they call you on Monday. I need to talk. They say something like, I just don't feel that way. They'll say, I know what the Bible said, but I don't feel that way. Those people that are always, I don't like that. I don't want it that way. I don't know nothing about spirit. Those people that are always giving excuses while they're not serving God. Submitting ourselves one to another. There's a whole other message here, but there is an order of that. The wife submits to the husband. Then the husband will submit to the wife. And it's that order, y'all. That's a whole other message. The wife first, and the husband will submit back by loving her like Christ loved her. It's the children submitting to the father. First, and then the father submitting to the children by raising them up in the next generation. It's the employees submitting to the employer first, and then the employer, the master, is to submit to the servant by treating him. Y'all see that? That's all right here. There's a reason there's an order of Scripture. The reason he gives it this way. And it's not just Pearson, Colossians 3 as well, same order. The spirit of accommodation. I don't know about you, but I want a spirit filled. And it's for all of us. If you are blood-bought, if you're a child of God, if you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, we all have the opportunity to feel the Spirit. So why are we settling for less than God's best? Why are we settling for a below-average Christian? Why are we settling for letting
inviting the Spirit of God to move in, but not letting Him have full reign in our heart. Why are we closing Him up in one closet? We've got a Sunday closet, a Christian closet in our heart, and that's where you've got to stay. Don't get out in the rest of this stuff, but you stay there. Listen, we don't have to persuade Him to fill us. We don't have to beg Him to fill us. Where in the Bible do you see beg the Lord to fill you? You don't have to persuade Him. Just let Him. Just permit Him to. Let Him fill you. Give Him the key to every room tonight. Give Him access to every file tonight. You don't need nothing more. And you ought not be content with anything else but the Spirit filled. Father, we love You. Thank You, Lord, for tonight. God, I'll be honest with you, I really would have loved to preach something that we'd have been shouting about right now, running laps. But Lord, if we get a hold of this in 10 years from now, we could be still shouting, still running laps. If we get a hold of this Spirit-filled life tomorrow, we could shout. Lord, I don't know of anything more important in Christianity today that we need than the Spirit-filled life. I don't know anything else in my life more important than I need in the Spirit-filled life. And so, Father, I ask You to take control, total access. And Lord, I pray that these folks in these pews that heard the Word of God, not just hear it, but receive it and act upon it. In Jesus' name I pray.